Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Mitch Fortner today. We will have Kellis Robinette on the show at 425. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, at 525 as well. You're going to hear from Bruce Weber and Barry Brown a little bit after that game last night. You know, I came home from doing Manhattan High just like last Tuesday, saw about the last minute of the game. I got to stop watching that show. Whatever that show is, keeps coming on, going through the same thing. I've seen it before. And getting a little tired of watching it over and over again. Very, very frustrating. I hope a little humor can open you up a little bit by this point. We will take some phone calls today. If you got them, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can, as always, tweet your questions or comments to the game, KMAN. I put up a poll at JL Kurtz on my Twitter account. Now I'm going to do Mitch's favorite thing and ask him to retweet it from the game account. You can vote in it. What's most to blame for K-State's loss last night? You got three choices: late game execution, officiating, or other. And I'm very interested to see where the dividing line is going to be with the fan base taking part in this poll on Twitter. I will start off the show by letting you know this. You will get no real scorching hot takes either way from me, because I feel like with what happened last night, there's two stances that most people have, and most are going to be pretty far to one side or pretty far to the other, and that is blaming the officials on one side and blaming the late-game execution, coaching, whatever it is you want to call it, on the other side, and trying to paint a real doomsday picture for the rest of the season. You're going to get neither of those here today. I will tell you that much. This is not going to be a show dedicated to completely burying the officiating. It's also not going to be a funeral for K-State's season here today. You lost a road game to a pretty good team in the Big 12 by 1 point. You were a 4.5-point underdog in the game. You did, however, have a 4-point lead with 2 minutes to go and the basketball and let it slip away. There's the facts and why it's so frustrating what happened last night. Let's start and touch on the officiating here with the points that I have to make about this one, because I am towing sort of the middle of the aisle here. I think we can address up front that there was certainly officiating that was questionable at the end of that game. I get it, man. I mean, it looked like Barry Brown did get hit on the top of the head going in for his layup, which would have given K-State a 1-point lead with about 5 seconds left. And perhaps even more damning, there was a phantom foul on Barry Brown a couple possessions before that resulted in a pair of free throws for Texas Tech. I saw it. I understand why there would be a lot of frustration there. Heck, I even understand why you would be frustrated. Now, this is after the game had turned, but after Bruce Weber steps out on the floor, he gets a technical foul called that late in the game in that situation. I think in a lot of scenarios, you are not going to see a technical foul called right there because of what we talked about with Svi at the end of the game, what we talked about at the end of the national championship game with the pick play. You know, typically you're going to leave the game to be decided on the floor there, not because of a technical foul of a coach coming a couple feet out onto the floor. I agree with you. If you are still upset about the officiating, which I'm sure a lot of people are, I'm with you and I understand why you are. But if there's one thing I can't stand more than anything after a game, it is resorting to blaming everything on the officials and continuing to sit and whine about it. And that's not what I'm going to do here today. This was different than the Kansas game. The Kansas game was a completely blatant travel miss. It was so blatant that literally everybody on either side, the Kansas players are even tweeting about it, they understand what happened. What happened last night was more of your common garden variety, playing on the road, having a couple things sort of go against you down the stretch. Yes, they looked like bad calls. They aren't, however, nearly as egregious and obvious as what happened during the Kansas game. These are the types of things that you have to battle through on the road to get wins. And sometimes at home, too, but typically what you think of getting on the road. You know, we spent the entire day after the Kansas game talking about how tough it is to get calls in Allen Fieldhouse, making all the jokes about it. Well, it goes for other places on the road, too. Typically, you're not going to get as many calls on the road as you do at home. I chalk a lot of that up to things that you're going to have to deal with throughout the course of a game, whether it's at the very end or at some point until you get to the very end of the game. I think a lot of people, And it's a pretty good life lesson, life metaphor in these situations. Look at it and only look through the lens of, well, this happened with the officiating. We're the victim here. We got screwed. And you don't take any time to look into the mirror. That applies to how you view this situation in this game. It also applies to how you would view things in your own life. If you're going to view yourself as the victim all the time, you're never going to move forward, and you're never going to look in the mirror and address some things. Let's address some things, shall we? You had the ball up 4 with 2 minutes left to go in the game, and from that point, Kamau Stokes misses the front end of a 1-1. Kamau Stokes then misses a floater after Texas Tech gets a couple points, and then Wesley Owundu has literally the worst type of turnover you could have in a scenario where you're up 1 with the ball late. You not only throw it away, but you throw it away to a streaking defender who then gets a run out. And even after all that, Barry Brown was very close to being able to grab a rebound, and I think he eased up for just a second, was not able to get the rebound off the Xavier Sneed block. Texas Tech scores. All those things happened. Barry Brown also did miss a layup after getting to the rack, whether he was fouled or not. There were a lot of things in your control that K-State let slip away in this game. And that is where I think most of the focus should go after losing a game like that. You can have, on one hand, the officiating be something that you don't agree with and be something that might be a problem and be something that could have been incorrect in a couple instances there, but still say, we've got a lot of things that we need to work on late in games. And that is basically where I fall here, because we could sit and complain about everything with the officials until the cows come home. It's not going to do you any good. It's not getting you into the NCAA tournament.
I can't really argue with you, John. Really can't, because the way I see it is what happened with the officials and what happens with K-State's mistakes really cancel themselves out, because all in all, Texas Tech took advantage of K-State's mistakes and the issues with the referees. They cashed in. They took advantage of an open window. Now, where I did have a problem with Bruce Weber last night, not taking that timeout with 10 seconds to go when they still had one in their pocket, full length of the floor to go, and Barry Brown just takes it all the way and gets fouled, no call. That's on the officials on that, because he did get hit in the head. The one part I did have, because that's actually a tough call to make, I would imagine. It's not as easy to call than that travel now in Fieldhouse, because, yeah, there might have been an official there. It didn't really actually look like a ton of contact. It wasn't like a punch or a good slap across the face. He was just hit on top of the head, and it looked like Barry could have finished. It really did. He could have made that shot, and would have been nice for the and one. But the phantom foul on Barry Brown is where I had that's my only issue with the referees in that stretch, was Barry Brown being called for a foul when he didn't even touch anybody. That's my issue.
Yeah, and that is sort of why, in particular, what you're explaining about the Barry Brown drive and how that can be a difficult play, and it's at the end of a game. Refs are going to have a tendency to swallow the whistle more at that point in time. That's why I chalk it much more up to those are the types of things you're just going to have to deal with throughout the course of a season. And sometimes they're going to work in your favor. Sometimes they're going to work against you. And you've got to find a way to persevere and get enough wins despite all that. You can't take video of Barry Brown's drive and bring it to the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee the day before Election Sunday and say, look at this. Look at how bad this was. Look at how bad we got screwed. That should be a win. That should improve our NCAA tournament resume. It doesn't work like that. And so you've got to start moving forward and look at things you can do as a basketball team, coaching staff, whatever it is. I'm speaking more to the fans right now, by the way, if you can't tell, but that is how I think this needs to be viewed for the most part. You can have some frustration, but put it away and start working on the late game execution. Because, by the way, this is not the first time we've seen this happen. And I'm not even including the Kansas game in this, but this was almost a carbon copy of the Maryland game, the late game execution and letting a multi-possession lead slip away in the blink of an eye down the stretch of a game. Also points that you could have started to put them at arm's length more so than you did earlier on in the game. You had a 7-point lead at about the 10-minute mark and immediately let them go on an 8-0 run. So there were plenty of opportunities, plenty of chances here. A lot of things you can lament. I had to go back and just rewatch the entire game today and did this morning, and with the knowledge that I had of how the game ended, that completely changed the way you watch the game, because I watched the way K-State played at the beginning of the game when they were not very good.
Bad, yeah.
All the possessions that you were giving away at that point in time, and just thinking, man, if you had another one or two of those at the beginning of the game, how much does that change things when you're getting there later on? K-State played well enough to win. That's the good news here, and I'll leave this segment with this. As much as I think you've got to really look inside, look internally, and figure out what's going on at the end of games here, because we've seen it happen last year, we've now seen it happen this year, I also by no means am sitting here saying the season's over, that's it, pack it up, pack it in. They can't get to the NCAA tournament the rest of the way. There's a red warning light going off because you still have zero, count them zero, top 100 wins on this tournament resume, but you've got 12 of your last 15 games against teams that are in the top 60 of the RPI right now. The only teams that are not, Oklahoma, Texas, the return trips there, and then Tennessee, that game in the Big 12 SEC Challenge that you're going to play. So the opportunities are all out there, and you've been in every game so far. I mean, the other thing I think K-State's proven, in addition to struggling in close games and being able to take care of teams that they should take care of, it's that they're going to be in virtually every game in the Big 12, you would think, this year. They've already gone to Allen Fieldhouse, the toughest place to play, and they went toe-to-toe. It was down to the last possession and a game-winning shot. So you will have a lot more opportunities throughout the rest of the schedule. You've got some nice padding with the wins that you put together in the non-conference schedule so that you go grab a handful of those types of games last night, like Texas Tech, like Maryland earlier this year, games against teams of that caliber. Get four or five of those, you're going to be in totally fine shape. Heck, get two or three of those and take care of everybody else really low in the standings, you're going to be okay. And on top of all that, this is not something totally out of the ordinary for other teams in the Big 12 right now. You've had seven games decided by 3 points or less in the Big 12 conference so far this year. All seven of them have been won by the home team. So losing by one at Texas Tech, who is a borderline top 25 type of team, a likely tournament team, I would think there's no shame in that. And a lot of other teams have had that happen in the Big 12. What you can't do is let these continue and continue to stack up and pile up and then be looking at the end of the season like, man, we didn't ever find a way to actually get over the hump there. Referees or not, you got to climb that mountain if this program is going to get where they want to get this season. We've got Mitch Holthus on in hour two of the show. He will be on at 5:25. Been a while since we have chatted with him. We'll go around college basketball at 4:40, but when we come back, Kellis Robinette from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star joins the show. He was there in Lubbock last night. How the players and Bruce Weber handled things in the aftermath of another heartbreaker.